Welcome back. It's Amber May. So glad to have you here with me. And on this episode right now, I am letting you inside of the county Maricopa County Board of Supervisors meeting with their constituents. They had already voted, I believe, to certify Maricopa County's votes. I will find out for sure, but I think that is what happened. And they had a public meeting, so many of the constituents showed up and gave their response to the election. And so you're going to see that on today's episode. And then we're going to get into the PAC, the Political Action Committee. Stephen Richard, the recorder, and Bill Gates, one of the supervisors, has created. So we're going to talk about that because that also comes up in the meeting. So all that is coming up on today's episode. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Please do that. Share it far and wide. And find me on Telegram at The Amber May Show, or you can find me on True Social Amber May or Frank Social Amber May. But join me there because I always add more content. And become an angel investor. Think about becoming an angel investor. You can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber, or you can go to theambermayshow.com and donate whatever you can donate. $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever you want to donate. I do not have Big Pharma sponsoring this program, so whatever you can do to help me would be great. Anyways, that is coming up on today's episode. So coming up right now is the County Board of Supervisors.
Voices. You guys have heard. I have no idea why you can say and Richard can say things like
election run extremely well, mastery with election process, professionalism and integrity. How can you say that after hearing people coming up personally, not just here, but you've heard other reports, but here you cannot say that this went well. People were disenfranchised. There were problems. Things were not run okay. So quit trying to say that. Just acknowledge it and let's figure out what we need to do to fix it. Thank you.
May I ask you, thank you for your testimony. So you were a worker at this?
I was an observer.
Observer. Yeah, which one were you an observer at?
I was over off of Central Lutheran. It was off of Camelback and 7th Street, right before there.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. All right. So I would like to ask as well, Scott Brogy. What's that? Brogy and Linda Attlee, if they could also come up. And then Susan, if you could please join us. Susan Truax, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, my name is Susan Truax, and I am a native of Arizona. I am from Scottsdale. I am an early voter.
That you're talking about. I was very concerned from the 2020 election because of what happened there. So my husband and I decided that instead of mailing our ballots in, we would go to the county recorder and deliver it, hand deliver our votes. After spending much time going over our votes and filling out everything exactly as it should have been filled out, we took it down, and actually, I hate to admit it, but we left our votes at home because we both thought the other person had them. So we made two trips down to the county recording office, and at that time we gave it to them and weren't greeted well, but it was okay. We gave them our vote, and we said we want it tracked. We want to make sure that our votes count. Got home, didn't hear from them 2-3 days when it came almost the 8th. Now, we did this a week before the election. We just wanted to make sure this was taken care of. On the day before the election, I actually called in 2 days before the election, waited 25 minutes to talk to somebody and I know the term professionalism was, has been used here, 25 minutes just to talk to someone to have a question answered. When I got on the phone, I explained the whole situation, and she told me that that it should be counted. Okay, so still no notification, nothing that my vote was counted. So then I wanted to do the pure vote where you have to, I went through the whole process, giving them the last four digits of my Social Security, filling out all their forms to make sure that my vote was counted. Still no notice. Then my husband, we called about his, they said his signature is fine, which of course my signature should have been fine, but, and they said that his vote should be fine, it should be counted. To this day, our votes have never been certified as far as them counting.
So Ms. Truax, thank you so much, and we'll make a point to follow up with you on that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. If I can ask Barbara Jennings and Roger Mayab also to get in line here, and we have Ben Berquam. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Supervisor. I typically don't speak at these. I represent folks. I have an organization called Frontline America, and I also represent a media outlet, Real America's Voice News. We were denied entry, along with my colleague Jordan Conradson, to the election office, and I figured this was an appropriate time to redress my grievance. I spend most of my time on the southern border exposing the invasion that's going on down there, especially here in Arizona, and what's coming into our country. The biggest concern I have is if this election is certified, the only parties that will benefit from this are the cartels. They've taken over Mexico, and sadly, they've taken over many politicians in America. What we saw on Election Day was outrageous, and to say that it was anything but that is either you think we're stupid or you're just that arrogant. What we've seen from you in the election office and your response, very simple questions needed to be asked. 2020 was a disaster. How was 2022 worse? You cannot say that you can certify an election when half of the voting machines were down. Was it 1,000 people that were disenfranchised? Was it 10,000 of the people that were there in line, or the people that didn't show up because they saw on the news the election machines didn't work? The fact that you've already made up your minds, you've already made the decision, this is all semantics. All of us coming up here and speaking is semantics. You've already made your vote. You've already made this decision. You said the world is watching, and you're right. They're watching, and they're watching this disaster play out in front of them. You responded to the AG with the most pathetic, inept response I've ever seen. You have not redressed the grievances of these people. That is the question. And the answer that I hear from everyone across this room is, you cannot certify. So the question is, what is the remedy? The fact that you were on a PAC that was going against Carrie Lake, as well as Richer, going against Carrie Lake, how can you say that there's no conflict of interest? You have a Secretary of State running against a gubernatorial candidate. How can you say there's no conflict of interest? And then your machines go down on Election Day. It is absolutely outrageous. If you certify today, the only thing you'll be certifying is your corruption.
Thank you again. Please.
That was good. That was good.
Please. No outbursts.
That was good.
Next speaker is Scott Brogy. If you could please state
good
your
morning.
Address
it's,
for us.
Good morning. It's Scott Brogy, and I live in Mesa, Arizona.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not here to talk about all the problems with the recent election, because the notion that a state treasurer candidate, Kimberly Yee, down ballot, could get 100,000 more votes than a very popular governor candidate, Carrie Lake, makes these results laughable to anyone who can count.
That's right.
From Election Day equipment failures that disproportionately impacted Republican voters in something like half the 200 plus Maricopa voting centers, to the weeks it took you to count through your vendor Runbeck election services without the inconvenience of observers, this election stinks. The effect this had was long lines of voting locations, which left out thousands of American citizens simply trying to cast their vote. My own experience when my wife and I went to vote the morning of Election Day in Mesa was that I couldn't wait hours because I had to go to work. My wife ended up waiting in line over 2 hours to vote, while I came back later and waited an hour to vote. But many others couldn't do that. Many people also passed me in line to drop off their completed green ballots personally at the polling center. Who knows, based on what we've heard today, if those hundreds of thousands of votes were counted correctly, I think Mr. Ricker said it was 290,000, or simply mixed up in box 3. At best, this is incompetence. At worst, it's something much more evil. You took weeks to count the votes, so why the rush to certify it? You have pending subpoenas from the Attorney General as well as other candidates. Surely you realize that by not addressing these questions, you only undermine the public's faith in the election process. With all these problems, intentional or not, the only way to restore confidence in the process is to address these subpoenas and do not certify this election prematurely. Today, the five of you have an opportunity to stand up for what's right, but you will be judged. Would you rather stand with God and be judged by the world, or stand with the world and be judged by God?
Oh, that's good.
Thank you very much. I would like to invite up to the line here. Do we have Barbara Jennings?
She went home.
Okay, she went home. Okay.
May I speak?
Yeah, I'm just going to call a couple more people up so we're ready. So do we have Roger Meib? Is he here? Okay. Andrew Electorate? Do we have Andrew here? Thank you. And then David Clements? Also, if you could come over here and get in line for us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Attlee, for your patience. And if you could please state your address for us.
I live in Phoenix, have for 40 years.
Welcome.
And I'm reading this on behalf of Barbara Jennings, who had to go to work.
Thank you.
Today, I want to speak of your legacy, how the people of Arizona and your children will suffer because you continue to steal the voice of Arizona. The fact that Stephen Richer and Bill Gates formed a coalition against the grassroots candidates is enough of a reason for their immediate resignation.
Yes.
Now another scandal with FTX stealing money from the Americans with the false narrative it's going to Ukraine, when in fact it went to the majority of Democrats, including Ruben Gallego. All the suffering in our state and country is a direct result of the corruption and stealing of our elections. Every child that dies from fentanyl, the increase in homelessness is a direct result of your weak, corrupt leadership. Resign and dissolve the Maricopa County elections. That is the only answer for free and fair elections. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, Andrew Electorate. Thanks for joining us, and if you could please state your address.
I would rather not.
That's fine.
My name is Andrew. I'm one of the voters, obviously, and I just want to ask you, did you watch your own press conference where you acknowledged that there were so many issues with many machines, and then later it became known that there were a lot more issues with a lot more machines? So if you haven't seen that yourself, or if you didn't heard yourself speak those words, then I can understand why you would thank somebody like this for doing the terrible job that he did at his election. Yes. Also, but I'm assuming that you're an intellectual. But so if you know what you said and you know what is available to the public, how can you then say that this was a well-run election and then thank this guy, thank anything, or just say that this election went well in any way? It just does not make sense. To anybody's watching this on TV right now, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, if this happened to anybody, this is clear voter disenfranchisement. There's nothing else to say. So knowing that there's plenty of evidence, there's plenty of information out there that will tell you that this was anything but a well-run election, and that there's a potential for voter disenfranchisement, and knowing that there's pending lawsuits, you know, there's pending evidence for you to still see before you move forward with this, right? There was an AG letter to the Maricopa County attorney, which was that response, sir, it was one of the worst from Mr. Liddy. Like, I'm not a lawyer. I could have written a better fake response to tell AG to here, take this and shut up. Like, this was like the most terrible and most obvious and blatantly misleading response just ahead of this meeting, right? Just to say, okay, a checkbox, I replied to you.
All right, your time is up. Thank you so much. If we could invite John Landry to come up in line, and then we'll also have Mary Ziola. And so we have David Clements. Thank you for joining us. Oh yeah, if you could please state your address.
David Clements, slave. That's what I am to this system, to your corruption. This is outrageous. This is a national crisis, and you're giving people 2 minutes to address a national crisis. And the way that you guys can just sit there, it's disgusting. Watching you pledge allegiance to my flag was disgusting, the way that you sold us out. You said you don't have the statutory authority to do anything. You're going to take a yes, no vote. What does that tell us? Yes or no? If it's just yes, then why are you here? Why are you here then? You have discretion. And when you certify something, you're saying that it's trustworthy. There's nothing trustworthy about this. This is theater. It's optics. I was a longtime prosecutor. I went after drug traffickers. This is vote trafficking at its finest. I've seen the criminal element. You are vote traffickers. You are a vote trafficker. Flagrant. Criminal. 6 days. What are you going to do about it? You've sold us out. You've sold us out. You've sold us out. So we're not here to be civil. You're worried about language? We're worried about our voices being stolen and never getting a fair election again. That's what we're worried about.
Kids, freedom.
So a curse upon you, a curse upon all of you, you smug, smug people. What, you got another chicken farm that needs to burn down, Mr. Hickman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Am I bothering you? Am I bothering you? Because this election bothered me. And you're doing nothing about it. I don't care about that stupid buzzer. This is sickening. You have the power as the chairperson to enlarge the time limits and actually hear your constituents instead of putting a muzzle on them.
Thank you. Your time is up. Thank you very much. All right, next speaker is John Landry.
And these sheriffs, you got to know who you stand with. This is disgusting.
Mr. Landry, thank you for coming to testify today. If you care to speak, care to mention your address?
My name is John Landry. I'm from Scottsdale, Arizona. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
I have just a couple questions. And you said at the beginning of the session that you had to approve this. That was your responsibility to certify this result. My question to you is, and then something can be challenged. So I would like the attorney for the county to go on record saying that when all the corruption is discovered, that they can uncertify this election and change it, because we're always told after the fact, oh, there's no process in place to decertify after it's done. So I want someone on record from the state, from the courts, to say, yes, there is a process and exactly what that process is.
Second, all these votes,
that the problems that happened on election day for multiple machines, and people were made to put their ballots in drawer 3. Did anybody, and do we have video evidence of those drawers being empty before they were put in? If we don't know if those drawers are empty, how can we possibly know that there weren't additional ballots put in there? You brought the ballots to Runbeck. Was anybody there to verify that ballots weren't printed? Runbeck has access to the voter rolls so they can know who has voted and who hasn't voted. Do we know they weren't printing more ballots? There's no way to judge this election and know it was done fair. So how can you certify something if you don't know it's been properly counted, that additional ballots weren't added? We just don't know, and no one can trust us. So how can we have confidence moving forward? The vote needs to be transparent. We need to have confidence in it.
Was chain of custody
Thank you,
broken
Mr.
with
Landry?
Runbeck?
Do we have Mary? Mary, you're there. And then as you're coming up, if I can ask Kimberly Burleson, Robert Canterbury to come up, please. Thank you. Mary Ziola, if you could mention your address for us.
My name is Mary Ziola, and I live in Surprise, Arizona. And I was a poll worker at Happy Trails Resort in Surprise. On Election Day, November 8th, I went to Happy Trails Resort voting site at 5:30 a.m. and did not get home until 10 p.m. There was a line of people waiting to vote at 6 a.m. at Happy Trails. I was assigned to work at the tabulators. I noticed the two tabulators were rejecting perfectly marked ballots. I would ask the voter to insert their ballot many different ways, including right side up, face down, upside down, and when it was still rejected, I had them insert the ballot into the second tabulator. It was then rejected, if it was rejected by the second tabulator, I would ask the voter if they would like to go to the head of the voting line and get a new ballot. Some did, and sometimes the tabulator would accept the new ballot and sometimes it did not. If it was again rejected, they were asked to put it in box 3. Why were the tabulators not replaced? The technician did not come out until late in the afternoon and did not fix the problem. The voting lines became extremely long because of the excessive time it took trying to get the ballots to be accepted by the tabulators. Some voters were very angry and insisted that they were not going to put their ballots into the drawer 3 slot because they did not believe their vote would be counted. This is voter suppression. Many voters told me they did not have time to get in line again to recast a new ballot. One such person was a policeman, was on duty, and said he had to leave on an emergency call. Another voter told me she was a nurse and needed to get back to work. There were 157 misread ballots that day. It was a complete chaos the whole day. Throughout the day, there were many mail-in ballots brought into the drop box. When the polling sites closed, we were told not to count them, but simply put them into bins and send them down to MCTEC. We filled two large bins with these envelopes. Why were these mail-in ballots not counted? Why are they taken to Runbeck to be scanned with no observers when there was no count of how many there were taken from the polling site? Ballots could be thrown out or illegal ones added in at Runbeck, which opens up the possibility to election fraud. And how does Steve Richard know there were 290,000 mail-in ballots on Election Day when they are not counted at the voting place? Also, the cables for our tabulators were missing the night before the election. Our troubleshooter had to drive down to Phoenix to get the cables.
All right.
I don't know how they could have been
your
tested.
Your time is up. Thank you very much for your work as a poll worker. We also have Samantha Paez and Chris Hamlet. If you could both come up and get in line. And then Kimberly Burleson. Do we have Kimberly Burleson? Yeah. Thanks for coming down.
As you stated, my name is Kimberly Burleson. I'm a native of Arizona. And 2 minutes is not enough time for me to say what I'm going to say, but I'm going to boil it down to 3 points. There's a statistician online that's already done statistics on the disenfranchisement based on Richard's numbers and how he calculated people waiting in line. It's over hundreds of thousands of people that were not able to vote, that they disenfranchised. The second thing is everybody that's been paying attention for way years before 2020, and then when 2020 came along, and they've been paying attention since then, do not trust these machines. There have been investigations going on for 2 years. The evidence is in, they've got it all. It's gonna bubble up to the top. If we had journalists that were doing their job and asking questions, people would know this by now, but they don't. So here's my next point. It's gonna bubble up. This is a fork in the road right now, today. You all have the option. There are people that don't know what they don't know. I don't know if it's you guys don't know or you are purposely disenfranchising the whole world with this gaslighting this stuff, okay? So you either, at this point in the fork in the road, you either open your mind and you get on the with the American people and you figure out what's going on and you let us re-vote with no machines and do it on paper, hand count in our precincts and prove to us this election was free and fair because there's just too many questions about it. Or you go on with this charade and at one point you're gonna be put on the spot and we're gonna ask what you knew and when you knew it. That's the bottom line. And I don't even need the 13 seconds.
Thank you very much. Next, Robert Canterbury. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My name is Robert Canterbury. I live in Glendale. I'm a 20-year Navy veteran, 2-time Iraq War veteran, former counterterrorism officer for Navy SEAL team, former head of security for President Trump's campaign headquarters in Lawrence, Virginia, and a 2024 candidate to get rid of Clint Hickman from Arizona politics once and for all.
No, please. Please, no outbursts.
In 1996, Maricopa County began using Dominion voting machines and other equipment in our elections. They did so with the recommendations of county officials. Since September 2021, I have spoken to several former county supervisors throughout the state of Arizona, and all of them have told me that this was your responsibility and your duty. You have the power to make the recommendations of state legislator to make changes for voting in Maricopa County. Is it easier for six people, you five and Stephen Richer, to change the minds of 1.5 million people? Or is it easier for six people to change the minds, or is it easier for 1.5 million people to change the minds of six people? Until you publicly come out and make recommendations to the state legislator, please stop telling us, the people of Maricopa County, to do the job that you're too afraid to do, to go against the machine and the mechaniacs to do so. Many of the state legislators are rhinos, much like yourselves, and they too do not listen to us. You can continue to pass the buck to us and the state legislators because you are too immature to realize that you are not perfect and that you do not make mistakes. This is from the recorder's website. Maricopa County Recorder's Office is widely recognized as a leader in recording services, voter registration, and elections in the nation. Are you serious, Stephen Richer?
I don't think so.
Thank you. Your time is up. Thank you. Next, if we could call up Teresa Breithaupt to join us, and then Samantha Paez. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Samantha Paez, and I'm a mother of five. My husband's home with the kids right now, but I felt like I had to be here because if we don't stand up now, I don't know when we will stand up. I'm a PC and active in my legislative district. I remember when Mr. Richer came and he was running before he ran for office. I was so happy to hear that you were going to do something different. I trusted you and voted for you. And I'm sad. I'm really sad today. I feel extremely disappointed. All of the things that we can do from home, send emails, make phone calls, get people to show up, it just seems like nothing ever happens. And I have a duty to teach my children the importance of voting, of being an active citizen, but it's very discouraging to know that it just seems like it's for all for naught today. Like if we don't have this fair election, then and it's a selection of our leaders, what can we teach our kids? What can we pass down to them? What can they strive for? If all of our efforts, us grassroots people who are standing here telling you we saw with our eyes problems. I was electioneering that day too. I mean, there's so many awesome poll workers here that gave their time and saw so many problems. I mean, that in and of itself, you have eyewitness testimonies from so many people, sworn affidavits, show you it was maladministrated. It was not, it could not be certifiable because if you're certifying accuracy, that you don't have it. So, I don't know, I'm here today. We have to do something. I agree with what everyone said about the hand counts and back to precinct voting. And I hope that you'll be, that you do have the power to do something for us today. And that you'll make a courageous step and do something different. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. I would like to call up Leslie Shepherd, if Leslie Shepherd can join the line over there. And we have, is it Chris Hamlet? Yes, Mr. Hamlet, thanks for joining us.
My name is Chris Hamlet. I was a candidate for the Mesa School Board. 82nd Airborne veteran, was a medic in the United States Army. I'm quite certain you've already made your decision, just like Ben said. We understand the decision was already made. So everything at this point is nothing more than political theater and listening to our comments so that you can get us all out of here and still do what you were planning on doing before we got here. So let me frame this right. We're not framing this properly. This is a war between good and evil. And you all represent evil, including you. I want to look in your eyes, especially you. I see the way that you look at people when they come up here and speak truth. Such arrogance dripping from your mouth, just like the smile on your face right now. You guys represent evil, good versus evil. All you God-fearing men and women out here need to understand that and get up every day and start donning your body armor before you step on this battlefield. We cannot continue to fight this war with these earthly weapons and continue to talk on deaf ears. We must get God in the middle of this thing. We must start off our days with our helmet of salvation, our sword of the Spirit, yes, shield amen. Of faith, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, and our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And understand that if you do not start your day off like that, you are stepping on this battlefield ill-prepared, and we will keep getting waxed by these evil people in charge.
That's right.
Okay? So I just want to say something about Mr. Richer here. He came up here, and during your thorough reading of laws and processes and everything that you said, not one time did you say a trash bag was acceptable to put ballots in. Not once. Yet that's what we have going on at this time. You're not losing friends because of the way that you handled this election process. You're losing friends because you're evil and corrupt, and you
that's
know
right.
it, okay? That's why
Ken, please.
That's why none of you have friends. I can't stand that smirk on your face, and neither can anybody here. Keep doing it. You're showing us exactly who you are, Mr. Gallardo. You're showing us exactly. Now, Pentel pens, why are you telling us to use Pentel felt tips when the ballots clearly say black and blue ink only? None of this
your
was
time is
properly.
Up. Thank you,
God bless
Mr.
You
Hamlet.
Stand with this mask.
Get. All right, so we have Teresa. Yes, thank you for joining us. And then while you're walking up there, let's invite Janelle Weaver to speak as well, to wait in line over there.
Yes.
Thank you. And if you could state your address, please.
Yes, I'm Teresa Breithop, and I live in Phoenix. I don't normally do this, so I'm really kind of nervous. I'm doing this for my child and my grandchildren. I feel that we're losing our nation because we can't have fair, transparent elections. I do have a question. Many of the issues I'm going to bring up have already been addressed, but one of my questions is why we have board members on this board that have formed a PAC that went after conservative candidates. I just don't understand that. Also, Mr. Richards, I'd like to... I think you need to stop boasting about the great job you've done, and you guys need to stop saying he did such a great job when it's evidence that we had long lines, majority of the machines weren't working, there were people that could not vote, and there is evidence of voter harvesting. I do not have faith in our elections, and I feel that my vote did not even count. I think it's time that we go to same-day vote. Paper ballots and no more machines. And I do thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Next, let me call up Ben Scheel to the line as well. And then Leslie Shepherd. Do we have Leslie Shepherd? Yes? Thank you so much.
Born at Luke Air Force Base.
What is your profession?
What I'm going to be playing here is before I judge.
Would you please speak into the microphone so the audience can hear your testimony? I'm a computer programmer. Mr. Curtis, are there programs that can be used to secretly fix elections?
Yes.
How do you know that to be the case?
Because in October of 2000, I wrote a prototype for President Congressman Tom Feeney at the company I work for in Oviedo, Florida, that did just that.
And when you say did just that, it would rig an election?
It would flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you wanted it to go to and whichever race you wanted to win.
And would that program that you designed be something that elections officials that might be on county boards of elections could detect?
They'd never see it.
Mr. Would you answer that question once again?
They would never see it.
So I'm giving you that as a testimony before a judge. That is a man who helped rig an election. We know that that still exists. You know that still exists. I went to go vote. I didn't get to turn mine in. The man in front of me couldn't turn his in. The man behind me couldn't turn theirs in. And guess what? I checked on my vote. It never went through. You have heard from many people, people in charge of the election. We are coming to you asking you to dig deep in your heart and not be condemned to hell one day. And why am I saying that? Because I'm a party person? I don't have a party. I'm an independent. I'm the outcast. But you know what? I'm standing here for the Constitution of the United States. And you guys are who we're looking to. Sheriff's Department, you know why I praise you? Because you don't stand up under these people. You stand up under the Constitution of the United States of America. And without us standing up under that, we have nothing. Nothing. They've already taken people's countries away. Venezuela, Dominion machine. You guys know they're dangerous. You know they're corrupt. Please dig deep in your
Thank
heart.
Thank you, Ms. Shepherd. Your time is up. Woo, your time should be up. Next, and then I'd like to call up Veronica Corcoran and Gail Golick over here in line, and then Janelle Weaver.
So I want to share this article that came out of the Arizona Sun-Times, and they dug into the PAC that was discussed in this County Board of Supervisor meeting with Bill Gates and Steve Richard. Not the Bill Gates, but the County Board of Supervisor Bill Gates. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richards founding a partisan PAC that's a political action committee raises ethical and legal questions of possible misconduct. Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richard is coming under increasing scrutiny after a botched election in Maricopa County, leading some to question his founding and operation of the pro-democracy Republican Political Action Committee, whose stated mission is to support pro-democracy Arizona Republicans who reject conspiracy theories and demagoguery. From candidates who maintain the 2020 presidential election in Arizona was stolen. In the context of the 22 election, this is an indication of Richard's direct opposition to GOP gubernatorial nominee Carrie Lake, GOP Secretary of State nominee Mark Fincham, and several state legislators and candidates for Maricopa County Supervisor. While Richard Political Action Committee claims to support Republicans, it has received money from a man who donates to almost exclusively Democrats, Francis Najafi. Gave $20,000 to his PAC, $60,000 to the Arizona Democratic Party, and $5,300 to Democrat Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, who is running for governor. The PAC paid $45,000 to a PAC during the primary called Defending Arizona Values, which is run by Camelback Strategies, a moderate GOP consulting group that ties to the McCain family that raised money this past year but spent very little on actual candidates. Similarly, instead of going to candidates, much of the money Richard PAC raised has gone to reimburse him for things like airfare, food, and other operating expenses. None of it appears to have gone to any candidate. According to Transparency USA, the PAC received over 88,000 contributions from the third quarter of 21 until now, and it has spent almost all of that money, with a large chunk going out shortly before the primary election. Appearing on Stephen K. Bannon's War Room Tuesday, State Republican Jake Hoffman told host Bannon that Richard's operation of the partisan PAC was evidence of misconduct and may violate Arizona law. Stephen Richard and Bill Gates are from the McCain wing of the Republican Party and the establishment wing, Hoffman said. He continued, the attorney general laid out multiple violations of the law, numerous in fact, and Recorder Richard created a political action committee specifically to oppose candidates that were on the ballot in the election that he was tasked with overseeing. There is clearly misconduct. 16-672 in the Arizona revised statute is one area we are looking into to hold these guys accountable, but conflicts of interest in another area we're looking into. And quite honestly, they have embarrassed not only the state, not only this county, but they've embarrassed the country right now. We are a laughingstock of the world thanks to these guys, and they need to resign. And if they won't resign, we will do everything in our power to hold them accountable come this legislative session. Now, I'm going to pause the article right now. If we don't fix this 22 election, they can't fix anything in the legislative session, because who's going to be governor? Katie Hobbs. Nothing will change unless we fix 22, just like nothing changed because we didn't fix 2020. So Deborah Haney, the American Greatness, reported most of the money raised by the PAC, $45,000, went to defending Arizona values. Independent Arizona, a group that believes there is more to be gained by working across political and cultural lines and try to push politics to the extreme, also donated $7,600 to the group. Defending Arizona values sent more than most of the donations, over $52,000, to Consilium Consulting, a firm run by Kirk Adams, former chief of staff to Governor Doug Ducey. The Arizona mayor noted last November that it's highly unusual for an election official such as Richard to get involved in elections the way he's planning to do, and by spending in elections that his office will oversee. He may open himself up to allegations of impropriety from candidates his PAC opposes. Sources told the Sun-Times that expenditures made by the Defending Arizona Values PAC were for messaging to Arizona voters to oppose GOP gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake. But a review of the most recent filings of the pro-democracy Republicans PAC with the Arizona Secretary of State's office indicate that up to October 27th of 22, it paid Defending Arizona Values PAC $25,000 for polling services in July of 22 and $20,000 for unspecified mailing services in the same month. A review of expenditures made by the Defending Arizona Value PAC during the reporting period beginning July 17th of 22 and ending September 30th, 22 reveals a different use of proceeds than the stated by the pro-democracy Republican PAC. During this period, it received $45,000 in donations from pro-democracy Republican PAC and $7,600 in donations from a progressive organization known as Independent Arizona. None of the $52,000 in expenditures made by Defending Arizona Value PAC during this period was for polling, according to its report filed with the Arizona Secretary of State. Instead, the report states that all $52,000 in expenditures were divided between mailing for four candidates: Maricopa County Superior Thomas Gavin, State Senate candidate Joanne Osborne, and two other candidates in either local or state legislative races. Neither PAC had filed documentation for donations or expenditures subsequent in October of 27 of 22. Bob Brickman, an election and regulatory attorney in Phoenix, told the Arizona Sun-Times he believes it raises at least the appearance of impropriety. Even after balancing First Amendment issues, he stresses that it's important for election officials to understand perception issues and avoid even perceived improper actions, he said. If not, then it becomes a full disclosure issue to the voters who supported him, letting them know timely the rationale of his actions. Otherwise, perception may fuel voter remorse, leading to possible recall or primary challenges. Alex Kaladin, who is also an election attorney in Phoenix who recently won elections in the Arizona legislature, told the Sun-Times he intends to sponsor a bill this coming 23 session to prohibit public officials from running PACs. State Representative Shauna Bullock ran one last year and that he will revise HB 2270. It provides an individual who is an election officer or employee who oversees any significant aspect of election operation may be a chairperson, treasurer, or other political action committee. Running the PAC may also run afoul of Arizona State Bar Rules of Professional Conduct. Richard is an attorney and member of the Bar Ethical Rule 88.4 on misconduct, which includes activities outside of practicing law, prohibits several types of behaviors that operating the PAC may violate. Section C states that it is professional misconduct to engage in conduct involving dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation. Section D prohibits conduct that is prudential to the administration of justice. Section E says an attorney may not state or imply an ability to influence improper a government agency or official or achieve results by means that violate the rules of professional conduct of other law. Comment 5, after the rule states lawyers holding public office assume legal responsibility going beyond those of other citizens, a lawyer's abuse of public office can suggest an inability to fulfill the professional role of lawyer. The Arizona Daily Independent spoke with professional Kathleen Hale of Auburn University's Election Administration Program about Richard's PAC, who said his entitlement could have a negative impact effect on voter trust due to the partisanship involved. Voters' precipitation of a fair election process is impacted by anything tied overtly to partisan politics, said Hale, a member of the National Association of Election Officials. Attorney Robert, I don't know how to say his last name, Govia, observed on his video show last week that Richard deleted a tweet about his PAC from November 1721. It stated with a link to the PAC website, "Thanks to a few generous donors, this is now launching. Join me if you care about traditional Republican stuff. Free people, free markets, rule of law. But also don't believe in conspiracies about the 2020 election or that January 6th was a tourist event." Richard retweeted a post by a reporter named Meg Cunningham, who announced the formation of his PAC. Gouvier notes that Richard is supposed to be overseeing an election that counts votes, deciding whether candidates like Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, Abe Hamadeh, and Mark Fincham win or not. Candidates Gouvier believes Richard would refer to as conspiracy theorists. Richard has repeatedly denied responsibility for the tabulation problems that occurred during the midterm elections, casting the blame on the Maricopa County supervisors. Well, that was the article from the Arizona Sun-Times regarding the PAC that you were hearing in that session with the County Board of Supervisors. So that is the latest. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I will keep you updated on what I hear.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to bring you my biggest bedding sale ever, just in time for Christmas. Get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98. A set of pillowcases, only $9.98. Rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. We even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more, all at the biggest discounts ever. I know my bedding products are perfect for you, and I'm extending my money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.